found it after Easter. After Easter. Because we have these events, don't we? You know, we have Christmas. Oh, children. Any children would like to go to Good News Kids? Lovely. Yeah, we have these Easter and Christmas, and there are some people that just, you know, go to church on those days because they feel they should. But I was thinking about Easter, and I didn't want to move on from Easter without taking the cross with me, if I can say it like that. I felt like it wasn't just an event for Easter Sunday and that weekend or a holiday, but it had to be more to me. And I wanted to take that forward with me. I want to take that cross with me every week because everything goes back to the cross daily. Everything. I'm going to start with a passage of scripture from Acts 12. And this is sort of after Easter. And I want us to look and see what happened here and what great thing came from this scripture. Acts 12, 1 to 4. About that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church. He had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. And when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. Now, this took place during the Passover celebration, which is like Easter. Then he imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of four squads of four soldiers each. And Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial after the Passover. So Herod had beheaded James and he'd arrested Peter and put him in jail. And he totally planned and intended to do the same to Peter. Herod was out to annihilate and destroy the apostles and any leadership of the church. But there was a problem. There was a clash on the calendar because he knew that it was coming up for Passover, which is what we call Easter, and he knew that it wouldn't be right killing the church leaders while the Jews were celebrating Passover. And he'd already killed James and he was planning on doing the same to the others. But because of Easter, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'll put everything on hold from killing the leaders of the church and destroying everything that has the name of Jesus Christ on it. I will let them have their little religious ceremonies called Passover. I'll let them go to the temple and I'll let them gather and sing songs and do their rituals. But he fully intended that after Easter he would go right back to business as usual, doing exactly what he did before he went to the temple. And I think sometimes that Satan overplays his hand. I think sometimes that the devil thinks he's on a roll just because he started something that he can keep going. Well, I'm going to declare right now in the name of Jesus that it does not have to be like that. You see, I had a situation, and I'm not going to say what it is, but something had happened and we have a victory in this area and I'm praising God in my heart and I'm thankful, and the devil then thinks, okay, I'm not going to get you, I'll get one of your family. And I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be like this. He was on a roll. His tricks aren't new. He goes for the same thing. But I'm like, no, not having that. You see, we serve a God that can interrupt the intentions of the devil. We serve a God that can make the devil's dreams turn into a nightmare. Wouldn't it be amazing if right now God would intervene in the devil's plans? And when we go back, things would be different. Now, there's two sides to this here. There are things that we can rise up against, like I am, and praying for God to come in and to change the situation. And then there's the other side of it, where people fully intend. You might be sitting here and you fully intend just going back and doing what you've always done, doing what you'd planned to do, not changing anything. Because Herod intended afterwards to kill Peter after that Easter break. But then look what happened. Let's go on in Acts 12, verse 5. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between the soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. And suddenly, Suddenly there was a light, a bright light in the cell, and the angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Wow. There was a suddenly. The people prayed. God intervened in the plans that Herod had to go and kill. There was a pause there. There was a pause there, and God moved. The people prayed. Wow. And there are, of course, those people who just, you know, come to church, Christmas and Easter. It's just the right thing to do. Although I think since COVID, we haven't seen that as much. People haven't really come back. And they don't expect change. They just come. And they fully intend to go back to the same old, same old. The same fear, the same depression, the same worry that they were in before. But what if all of a sudden the risen Saviour shows up? Because when you encounter Jesus Christ in a real way, he is alive in your life and you do not have to return to what you came from. The enemy can just make other plans because he's desperately trying to destroy marriages and families, homes, lives, kill people. But God can show up and God can change everything. Because there is something called a divine disruption, a divine intervention, and we need it. We need that same kind of power that got a hold of Herod and changed his intentions. Because the Bible records that Peter was set free and what was planned to him did not happen. I don't want for us to be looked at as a church for just religious activities. I'm grateful for the Pantry Club and the Pantry Girls who are intentionally looking after our community, feeding the poor, doing those things. And we've just got this random church in New Zealand who sponsor orphans. They had this money. They wanted to send it to Australia. They spoke to someone in Canberra who said, "I know a church in Maruya." And they sent $4,400 to the pantry specifically to help certain things in the community. And I'm like, wow, exactly, wow. And it's just amazing what God has for us to do when we're intentional about our lives. Wow, we need to be everything that God has called us to be. And that will depend on our intentions because that's actually what really matters. God just doesn't want you to hear about a resurrected Saviour and live like he's dead. We need to live our best life. He wants to bring some intentions to us that are changed after Easter and not go back to your former things. We want a divine interruption. The church shouldn't be entertaining. It should be life rearranging. Life rearranging. And I believe that God is calling us to be more than just churchgoers, but to rise up and to be the church. Every one of you has a gift. It says in 1 Peter 4, God's given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve each other. And I believe I had a word and I believe I've got a word and there's someone in here and it's a woman and they're sitting and they're thinking, but I don't have anything. I don't have any gift. What I say wouldn't even be important. Well, I'm here to tell you right now in the name of Jesus, I want to break that over your life. I want to break the power that words have had over your life. I tell you to rise up in Jesus' name and to be all that is called and created you to be. Amen. Just receive that. I know who it is, but if that's for you, receive it. You see, we need the resurrection power of God in our marriages and in our families and in our home. Has anyone here got a family that's got it all together? All your children are praising God and all doing well. Has anybody got that? No, me either. Well, why not? Why not? Let's believe for the resurrection power. For all those who have fear and anxiety and depression, you don't have to go back into the darkness because Jesus is resurrected. He is our light. There's a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 33 and it reads this. So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. So the most important part of church, it's not the singing, it's not even the preaching. You know what it is? It's your response. Because if the preaching and the singing don't cause you to have intentions after the service, then it didn't make a difference in your life. I want God to give us an intervention of lasting changes. We need lasting changes. The measure of this service is measured by how you change when you leave here today. Church pastors need to be changed. Children need parents to be changed. Wives need husbands to be changed. And husbands, you need wives to be changed. We need to change. We don't just need a reprieve on our anger or our bitterness or our angry words. What are your intentions? What are your after Easter intentions? See, what good does all this do if we walk out of here and nothing changes? I wasn't going to say it, but I am. Okay, I went to men's group one day because I can, I'm the pastor. And I heard Steve say to the guys, "Guys, just spend 10 minutes of the day." And I remember ages ago, Steve preached a message and about he had a chair and a room and he sat in his chair and every day he spent time in the Word. And he said, "Guys, spend 10 minutes a day, I challenge you." Well, Graham was at that meeting. And now in the morning, I get out of bed, he's already gone, and I go down and I find him reading his Bible. Now, I'm not saying this to praise him up or anything, but I'm just saying I can see change coming because every day he's reading the Word. It's like half an hour, an hour, and he's still reading it because it's changing him. He's intentionally allowing God to come into his life and change him. We need to be intentional about our changes because apparently statistics say that the most major change comes out of most people's life in the first 3 years that they're following the Lord. You know, we tell new Christians, change this, don't do that, don't hang out with them, don't do that, but do this. But when was the last time that something that you convicted about and you changed? If you've been around longer than 3 years, I'm asking you the question, when was the last time that you changed something on your conviction list? When is the last time that you felt such a change that you intended to do something but the Holy Spirit touched your heart and you didn't do it? You might have been thinking, oh, when I get home, I'm going to do this or I'm going to have a drink or I'm going to whatever, I don't know, you know what it is. But the Holy Spirit touched your heart and you didn't do it because you allowed him to come in and speak to you. Or when you had unforgiveness in your heart and you were so angry that you had no intention whatsoever of forgiving that person, but God touched your heart and you chose to forgive regardless and you felt a sense and a release of freedom because God has a plan for your life and he wants to change your intentions. Now, there are people also sitting here that have got gifts and got callings on them and you're still sitting there. We need to be all that God's created us to be. You're not ever going to be me and I'm never going to be you. And your calling will be different. And it might just be showing love to someone, encouraging someone, bringing a word. I'm sure there's people that have had words and you've not come forward. But the world needs to see us changed. Wants to change our intentions. In Acts 3:3-7, Peter and John here, they were about to enter and they saw someone begging and asking for money. And Peter and John looked intently and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Now picture this. A lame man went to the temple, and the Bible says that Peter and John came across him and he was begging for money. So imagine him sitting there with his little tin going, change, change, help, money, change, change. That's how we need to be. God, help me, change, God. God, touch my heart, change my attitude. See, I don't want just to have feel-good moments in church. I want God to change my attitude. I want God to change my spirit, to make me a better person. Maybe you just need a change of heart towards someone else or a situation. That lame man needed something that would lift him up. And if you've come in here today and you've got a problem or you're disappointed, you've got a choice. You can dwell on it. You can have a pity party with it. Or you can lift. You can have, like that lame man, he never thought anything. He just wanted money. He didn't even know that he could be healed. But he got miracle legs that day. And God can cause you to rise up and walk again. And you can say, God, through your joy, through your strength, I will not let these things paralyze me anymore. In Genesis 41, another example, 17 to 21. It's a funny scripture, this, but I have a point from it. So Pharaoh told Joseph in his dream. In my dream, he said, I was standing on the bank of the Nile River, and I saw seven fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. But then I saw seven sick-looking cows, scrawny and thin, come up after them. I've never seen such sorry-looking animals in all the land of Egypt. These thin, scrawny cows ate the seven fat cows. But afterward you would have known it, for they were still, you wouldn't have known it, for they were still as thin and as scrawny before. And then I woke up. You see, this was a dream that he had. And he saw fat cows and he saw skinny cows. And the skinny cows followed the fat cows. Now, when a snake swallows something big, you see this big lump in the snake. But the comment here was, they were still as thin and scrawny as before. This is what I want you to see from this. It's what happens to a lot of people that come to church. They get fed spiritually. They hear about Jesus. They eat the word of God. They get it in an anointed atmosphere, which it is, but then they walk out the door starving and nobody can tell the difference. They are still hungry, they're still upset, they're still unforgiving and bitter. Something is wrong when you keep hearing the word and being served the word and getting the meat of God's word, and at some point it should make a difference in you. Do we just hear the word? Or do we come here to be changed? Because I sense there's a season coming. And thank you, Marion. There's a season coming. We've settled. We've regrouped. We have this love and this bond, I believe. And it feels good here. But let's just not feel good here. Let's do something. Let's be the change. Because change is going to come. God's spirit is going to sweep through. And we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And God isn't asking you to be what you're not. Don't be afraid. That was one of the big things that, as a young Christian, I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to get committed there because I don't want to have their job. And I used to think that I'd have to do all these things that I couldn't do. Well, I couldn't even do this job, but God helps me. I rely on him. I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't for him. But he's called me to do it. And I've accepted that now, and I own it now. It took a while, and I own it. But he's not asking you to be me or anyone else. He's just asking you to be you. He's put the gifts already in you to be who you are, and you need to rise up and do that. There will be fulfillment in that. There will be joy in that. You will be in the center of his will and his blessing because you'll be in the right place. Wow, how much change has the message of the resurrection brought into your family and into your home and into your life. On the day of Pentecost, it was defined by two of nature's finest elements, wind and fire. And the Bible says that the mighty wind blew in the upper room, back in Acts, and then the fire set upon each of their tongues, wind and fire. Wind rearranges things, especially our hair, and fire redefines things. And if the Holy Spirit had any work that he wanted to do in your life, it would be to rearrange and to refine you. But the point is, we cannot change ourselves. It's not just enough to have good intentions, as we know. Always got good intentions of something. But unless God's in it and we're allowing God to work with our intentions, they just don't happen. It takes the Holy Spirit, the wind and the fire, to redefine and to reschedule and to clean out some of the things in us, prune us. And here he is today. And if God had anything in mind at Pentecost, it was change. It was change. Let's look at Ezekiel 46, because we talk about change, and this scripture was about the feast, just like we've celebrated at Easter. And he commanded all those who were worshippers to come and worship him on this special feast day. Verse 9 of Ezekiel 46. But when the people of the land came before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And whoever enters by the way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate through which he came. This is called the law of worship. But he shall go through the opposite gate. Now God said, I have one law concerning worship on feast days or Passover, that when you come in one door, you go out the other. If you come in my presence, you are forbidden to turn around and leave the same way that you came. So there's a point here. If you came in the north, you had to go out the south. In other words, you've got to go out the opposite to what you came in. If you're depressed, you need to leave here with joy today. If you've come discouraged, you need to leave encouraged. However, you've come in today, exchange it. This is a place of exchange. Exchange it with God and leave being victorious. Walk in it. Walk in it. The devil will want to tell you as soon as you get out that front door and in your car that it didn't work. Don't believe him. He's a liar. This is a place of exchange. And today, whatever you want to exchange, it can be done. You just have to do it. God wants to alter your after Easter intentions. He wants you to get to the place that real change begins to happen. It just might even be this, that next time you come to church, you might have read your Bible. Just a little change and a little start. There's something about the power of the Word that can change us. And Herod intended after Easter to go right back to the same thing that he was doing, but he was stopped by the power of God. And I pray that you came in one way, but you will leave another way. Spiritually speaking, you might have walked in far from God, but you're going to leave restored, renewed, washed and cleansed. Jesus died on the third day. He rose again, we know that. And you too can rise again out of anything that you're going through today. Jesus cares about you. Remember, he was wounded for your transgressions. We talked about that last week. A transgression is the outward action of an inward motivation. And he was bruised for your iniquities. An iniquity is an inward motivation that drives you to sin. And by his stripes, you are healed and you are made whole. Amen. Amen.